Hello and welcome to episode 16 here with Kyle Jones and Alex Beaverson, your host of the Between the Swings podcast. This episode we're excited about. We're going to be talking about the love of the game, the romance behind the game of golf. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about some leadership that came to our golf course here at Superstition Springs and learnings and excitement that came out of that. We're going to end with a little bit of conversation about our reading list and what that looks like for the two of us, books that have impacted us as well as the hot find of the week. Kyle Jones, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. It's overseed. We're closed. We'll probably have two episodes recorded during overseed.
Why not?
So it's just, it's a different vibe than normal. We've got a 2 week period where we're not necessarily guest facing. We will welcome a guest if they need to come in and ask a question, but we don't expect guests. So it's just a fun 2 weeks for us to show up in t-shirt and in jeans and have a good time. And it's a really good time for us to sit down, reflect on who we want to be for the upcoming season. And this brought us to the interesting point that you and I are going to really talk about that's helped us really create this podcast. I think romance is what we're talking about here. Romance is going to be a big thing about this podcast and also talk about how we create the identity of superstition. So talk to us about that.
Dude, yeah. So a week ago, I went to a golf event. Loved the golf event. We'll go again. Nothing wrong with the golf event. But I got in some conversations with some buddies there. And a lot of it was centered around this idea that golf historically has this beautiful, this amazing, like romantic reality to it. It curates something in our hearts that is like beyond us. And we call it embracing the moments. We call it, between the swings moments, these types of things. But this, this term romance came up. And the buddy of mine that I was playing with, he's like, we need to bring the romance back to the game of golf. Mm. I don't think it's ever left. I don't think, but at the end of the day, golf is romantic, isn't it, man? Golf is like centered around this idea. And by romance, we don't mean like it's a rom-com or like romantic, like movie gestures, like how the sometimes culture portrays romance, but this historical romantic view, this vibe, this idea that you can be who you are and embrace the moments. And it's romantic. Mm. Like when I say that, what comes to mind for you? Okay. Golf is romantic. What pops into your head?
I loved that, right? It's this ability to connect or ability to find the bigger picture, right? Slow down and embrace the moments, a term that you and I use all the time. When you originally brought this conversation to me, I'm like, yes, this is so between the swings. This is exactly what we want to talk about, because there are so many ways to enjoy 18 holes of golf. And we welcome and celebrate all of those as long as they're done respectfully within your golf cart and not impacting all of the people That's right. around you, right? We welcome all of those, but we also want to celebrate and really inspire people to slow down and find the romance. I was silly for a second, consulted my friend ChatGPT.
What does ChatGPT say about romance?
I asked my friend Charles, what is romance? And I got a fantastic response. Romance typically refers to a feeling of excitement and mystery associated with love, often involving emotional intimacy, affection, and a deep connection between people. It can involve gestures or actions that express love and devotion, such as thoughtful gifts, meaningful conversations, or shared experiences. Romance can be present in both relationships and literature, often portraying an idealized form of love with emotional depth. Mm. And that is something that is certainly achievable within 18 holes of golf.
Yeah.
Right? The passion and love behind the game has created an entire community around the accessories involved on a game of golf in a golf bag, right? And how someone can decorate and embrace their identity or celebrate something that they love out on the golf course, right? So gift giving is something that has totally evolved in the game of golf in the form of head covers and cool golf bags. And you're seeing retro and such unique things come back to the game of golf that haven't been there for a while. And I think it's because so many people thought that the game of golf was this cookie cutter thing that you had to be. So all golf bags were pretty darn similar. Everybody was dressed exactly the same way. And we want to celebrate people's, you know, relationship with the game of golf and the romance that they have by saying, be you out on the golf course and embrace those moments, right? Don't try and fit into something that you're not.
Yeah.
And I promise you, you're gonna find yourself embracing the moments a lot more because you're removing any barrier or boundary that's stopping you from doing that.
Yeah, it's so golf always has a trend. It's moving in a direction. And a lot of it, you know, it comes back to the conversations of LIV and PGA, and golf courses are taking risks, trying new things, and golf brands are taking risks, trying new things. And it seems like a lot of golf courses are at least trying, or at least the ones that seem to be thrive or people like to go to are this like low barrier of entry. We want to create this bar vibe, this excitement around whatever it is. And we want to be these Instagram personalities, and we want people to fall in love with our golf course, and we want people to fall in love with us and our shirt and our style, all good things. But I think what I so desperately want and want our course to do is help people fall in love with the romance of golf. And I think that those brands and those golf courses can help do that and usher people like towards that for sure. But when I think about Superstition Springs, the golf course that I want to identify with, the golf course I want to associate myself with is one that says, hey, let's find the bigger picture. Let's find the bigger story. Let's be story curators of this romance and love for the game. Because it is. This low barrier of entry is so easy. It's great for young people. The hype, the fun. I'm a hype guy. I'm a fun guy. You know me. I want to take a couple beers back with my buds and have a good time. But what impacted me, what has impacted me the most about the game of golf is I have fallen in love with something bigger than myself and the story that comes with golf. And it's the views, it's the people, it's the camaraderie, right? It's the wildlife, it's the moments between the swings. And I want to help bring people to Superstition to say, hey, let's help you fall in love with this game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. The term that comes to mind for these golf courses that you talked about, and it's not negative whatsoever. It's
for sure.
It's a club in hand type facility.
For sure.
Like get clubs in the hands of people, as many people as you possibly can. And I'm so grateful for them because they drive a huge part in doing just that.
For sure.
Getting clubs in hands of people that have never played the game of golf before, or maybe they're taking it out to the golf course for a very first time. Low barrier for entry, rather simple, not a major design to it that's going to make it difficult from a playability standpoint.
Right.
And you and I have realized that's not really the bones of Superstition Springs, right?
Yeah.
This was designed to be a full championship style golf course, and it's one that it needs to have a romance to it, and that's something that you and I really pursue and chase after. So if there's a way, can you talk a little bit more about how that thought helps you build the culture and identity that is Superstition, being one of our leaders?
For sure. I think for me, it means potentially walking slow through the pro shop to have conversations with people. Ask them what their story is. Why are you coming to Superstition today? Where are you from? What are your hopes in the game of golf? Tell me about, there's prodding questions to get to know our guests for sure. Now, from a cultural standpoint, we may not be the golf course that's going to have the super loud music on the driving range. The music that's like inviting this potentially younger first time club holder in their hand. We want those people to come to our course, yes. Mm-hmm. But we also want to recognize that our driving range might be meant for the range rats, for those people that want to work on their game, for somebody who's here with a father and son that want to have conversations between the swings, the literal conversations between the swings.
Oh, yes.
And we want to provide an opportunity for those conversations to happen. It also means, we want to put as many people out from a revenue standpoint on our golf course as we can. But from the story curating side, we want that golf cart to look clean. We want people to, again, to use a father-son analogy, to be able to sit in a golf cart for 4.5 hours. And when they're stopped at waiting for the next shot, what are those conversations they're having? So we want to curate a culture, an environment, even in that golf cart where conversations can happen. And it even gets me to question, hey, what do our cart signs look like? Mm-hmm. Instead of just promoting the next event, maybe we say, here's three questions you can ask your writing partner today. To curate that story a little bit to help people, you know, move in a direction to fall in love with the game again. But additionally, from a leadership standpoint and our employees, we're going to interview potentially differently. We're going to find people that, like, have a passion for the game and not just I'm here for the money and for the paycheck. You know, we're not just going to hire on good looks, but we're going to hire on, hospitality, these types of things. And I don't know if golf culture is like that everywhere. So... I think that that's at least where my brain goes on the onset.
You nailed it. You nailed it. When I think of an identity of a golf course, I think of the golfer's journey.
Yeah.
The journey they're taking from the time they pull off the street into the parking lot to the time they pull back onto it.
Yeah.
And those can vary quite differently from just a 30-minute bucket of balls to a 7-hour day on facility with breakfast, 18 holes, and lunch afterwards. And what you basically explained is as leaders, we really anticipate the needs of our guests at each step they're going to take along that journey, right? Like, how can we be present and mindful of the person standing in front of us at backdrop?
Yeah.
And how can we identify that that person is on the 30-minute journey versus the 4-hour journey or the 7-hour journey?
Yeah.
Because your conversation might be a little bit different, right? Yeah. So that's how we lead our team, right? Anticipating and identifying where that person is in front of you in their guest experience and / guest journey. And then how you can be the person to, you know, elevate it or take it one step further. So that's huge for us. You nailed it on the head. Something you talked about was hiring and interviews. We're in the middle of Danny Meyer's Setting the Table right now, right? He's nationally renowned restaurateur, started Union Square Hospitality Group, just finished Will Goddard's Unreasonable Hospitality, who was a mentee of Danny Meyer's. And Danny's has this mentality or theory that he just hires 51%ers, right? So 50% is going to come down to the skill and resume and experience, but that 1% is the person who they have the ability to be mindful of the person standing in front of them, right? It's the principle of making the person in front of them feel a little bit better and walk away as a winner, right? So you're just looking for that 1% difference in somebody. So that's big for us. That's big for us.
Yeah.
Romance has been big for us and really trying to embrace the moments in this podcast. It's big for us in trying to create an environment where life happens at its best at Superstition Springs. We really try and act on Arcus's mission statement or our purpose statement, which is to create extraordinary experiences and forge emotional connections with our members and guests one round at a time.
So good.
And I want to talk a little bit about the journey that Arcus Golf has gone on in quite some time. And we met in new leadership just this week, and that was really impactful for you and I, and we're excited to talk about that. But Arcus Golf came around in 2014. Our CEO, Blake Walker, gets a handful of golf courses, 25, 30 golf courses, if I can remember correctly. And we're golf focused, and we're focused on impacting the person in front of us. And we start hosting things called pillar events, where golf courses have to host events that impact the community in certain pillars. Right? Arcus's pillars are health and wellness, experiential dining, lifetime sports, and arts and entertainment. So since 2014, we've had this 10-year growth period of no name changes happened, but you and I as leaders, me over the last 10 years, over the last 14, 15 months, are seeing us, we almost feel like we're changing from this Arcus golf mentality and image to this Arcus hospitality, image and brand, right? And that goes into this romance that we have for the game of golf, this romance that we have for creating an environment where life happens at its best. So to work for a leadership group and a company that's talking about how can your facility impact the community around you with the game of golf that we love so much, but once they fall in love with who Superstition Springs is, let's create memories and forge connections with them, with our facility in any way we possibly can, right? And that's where pillar events like Sips and Stogies, which is an event that's coming up, an awesome, you know, whiskey tasting and cigar night in late October, or a yappy hour where you can bring your dog with you to the golf course, prime rib nights, you name it, right?
Sure,
just different ways that we can get the person who already believes in us, right, to come here and bring your family and embrace the moments a different way. So I'm thrilled to be a part of that. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I love that story for sure. You know, because I'm a people's person. So, you know, I thrive around people. I'm just talking about Alex as a person, and the person that I walk this earth to be is somebody that likes the presence of people, because I think stories impact people. I think we have the opportunity, you know, I am most impacted based on the people that I'm around. And I think that is very true of most people. So if I'm going to work for a company, I want them to recognize that that is true in the world. And so for Arcus to say, hey, we're shifting, you know, maybe to this major hospitality focus to forge emotional connections, which is like the key term that gets me like out of bed in the morning. You know, I can play a bad game of golf. And if Arcus's like mission statement was, we want to see you go from 70 handicap, I mean, you know, shoot 70 down to 65, you know, then I would be very discouraged all the time because I'm just not that good at golf. Right. But Arcus doesn't say that. Yeah. They say we want to forge emotional connections and create experiences where people can.
We want you to embrace the moments.
Embrace the moments.
If you were to say it in a different
that's
way.
That's right. And so, yeah, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning, you know, sitting and doing reports to make sure that yada is all stuff is checked off and all this stuff. It's all part of the role. But what gets me out of bed, what gets me excited is the emotional connections. It's the people. It's the four walls and the people who walk in and out of it every single day. Yeah. So thank you, Arcus for embracing that hospitality focus.
Yeah, it's been great to learn that intention and really develop that as a leader, right? It's like the golf professional side of me, you know, turned into a sales professional at some point in my career, like those things I can just do by myself being told anything.
Totally.
But to really be challenged about how are you asking your team questions to create an environment where your team is performing at its best and impacting the most people in the most impactful way.
Totally.
Right? That's pretty powerful. Instead of just talking about rounds of golf, it's how are you impacting the community?
Yeah.
Right. And to go even further, I'll paraphrase that conversation that I had with a new executive leader yesterday. I don't have, you know, exact quotes written down, so I won't say exactly who it is to throw anyone under the bus in case I say something wrong. But the one question I had, and it's the first time that I met this individual, great energy, so much support already for the club. I can't wait to connect next time. The one question that I had was, you know, is this a big change for you coming from, you know, Fortress, real big picture capital investment asset management company? Maybe property management in there as well, and then coming down to Arcus Golf, right? Focusing on who we are and what we're trying to be. And the answer I got was, yeah, it's a big change. And the one thing that I'm actually looking forward to the most is not every single conversation is going to be about the bottom line and stakeholders and how much cash flow or GOP there's going to be at the end of the quarter, at the
sure.
end of the year.
Yeah.
We still spend plenty of time talking about how are we impacting the people who are choosing us?
Yes.
So that was a phenomenal question, or phenomenal answer at least. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the conversation that I have. We're going in fantastic directions. What did you take away from the short period of time you had yesterday?
It was easy. That's like a weird way to say it, but I've, you know, been around executives that flaunt, I think, their title. And this didn't feel like that. It felt like someone that genuinely wanted to know our course and know our identity. I think the first question he asked you is like, who's the community that you serve? Talk to me about the people that live right there and go to eat at that restaurant, that type of idea.
Yeah.
And that really gave me the vibe of like, man, I like feeling like your executives, your corporate team, yada, 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 has your back and wants what's best for the place.
Yep.
And what's best for the place is hospitality and the people and how are we serving our community best. And then we had moments where we walked up to our banquet room, which we both know needs a little facelift. And the question was brought in like, You know, if you had so and so much money, like, let's dream for a second. And not that that's going to come to fruition, but it certainly gets your wheels spinning a little bit to go, man, mm-hmm. I like that conversation. I like that we can just talk about that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not a conversation that happened behind closed doors. And then suddenly they're like, we're painting everything black. They're like, no, talk to us. Like, what do you want to see here?
Right.
Which is really, really cool. So,
right.
Yeah. That's what I'd say. Easy, non-intimidating, and all that for me breeds excitement and yeah. vision. So yeah. yeah, I thought it was a great, great visit from our leadership team for yeah. sure.
I'm excited to have direction. I'm excited to talk to more leadership about, like, hey, how can we really get Arcus to invest in this place to help more people come and embrace the romance and see, you know, experience the sunsets and experience the conversations out on the golf course and slow down just a little yeah. bit out there. So, yeah, that's great. One of the things that I talked about with our new leader yesterday, we started talking about mentors, and mentors really do a good job of kind of describing someone's leadership mentality.
Yeah.
And in mentors, I'm specifically referring to who are people that you like to read from or that you like to listen to podcasts to.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking about our reading lists, right? You know, so it's Overseed. We have time to stop. We have time to think about, gosh, what do we want this next season to look like? How can I create that picture? What kind of a leader do I want to be? Maybe what books do I want to read?
Totally.
And that just got me thinking. So I want to share 6 books that I typically, I often share with people who are around me that I really value. They're pretty, pretty cool. We've read several of them here.
Yep.
How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age. It's just an abridged version of the classic by Dale Carnegie. That was completed. So Unreasonable good. Hospitality by Will Goddard.
Yep.
We completed that one. We are in the middle of Setting the Table by Danny Meyer. So looking forward to finishing that one. And then the other 3 that I love are Multipliers. Multipliers is by Liz Wiseman.
Yep.
Start with Why by the fantastic Simon Sinek. He has others that could be on the list
for
as well.
For sure. That's right? So impactful.
The new 1 Minute Manager is fantastic. That one's Ken Blanchard and Spencer Johnson. That's another updated version of their original. So that's my reading list. I love those. I will introduce those to anyone who ever asks me. I look forward to recommendations. So if you are a reader or an audiobook listener like Alex and I, send us your recommendations yeah. because we love learning. We love chatting about it. We're always reading books on property. Maybe some of our department heads hate us because of that, but we're always reading. What's on your list?
I have, okay, so here's my list. You challenged me to say what's on your reading list. So the first one, this is no particular order.
Okay.
Blake, our camera guy, maybe you could film it to where like it pops up and goes, bing, like the picture pops up right here. It would be really cool. We'll see if we can pull that off. Okay, anyway. The first one is Creativity, Inc. I recommended this one to you.
Got that one. Later. Great read.
Yeah, it's just about how to be creative and create a space that's, you know, thriving for people to share their visions and safe.
That one's written by?
Don't remember. It's a Disney executive, I think, yeah. An ex-Disney executive.
Yeah, it was Disney.
Another one is The Powers That Be, my favorite book of all time. It's, my past life, it's a lot of biblical language talking about, oftentimes we villainize our leaders, but they have another story and a leader that's telling them to do something. It talks about this story of a guy named David who slayed Goliath and how he went on the run from a guy named Solomon, and Solomon also had powers that be in his life that were like getting him to act the way he was acting. And so it's a very impactful book on perspective. So yeah. Yeah. Unreasonable Hospitality is on there. Starts with Wise on there. And the 5th one, which I love so, so much, Road Back to You. Mm. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's by Ian Morgan Cron. Enneagram impacted my life, impacted my marriage, impacted the way I work with people. And wow. It's a story about finding who you are, the road back to you as a human person. Finding the Enneagram and how to utilize it to help you discover who you are. So big shout out to all of those books. Bam, 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 bam. We can get those up on the screen. I know, editor.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, so those are mine. So yeah, if you have books that you want to recommend for our team to read, how cool would that be? To be like, yeah. somebody from out there is like, yeah, I think your team should read this, then we can dissect it as we we go together.
Yeah, my drive to work is like 35, 40 minutes. So, you know, one way, right? Yeah. So I go through audiobooks like crazy. Guy. So yeah, send me recommendations. I would love to review it with the team, chat about it. You'll hear us talk about it on here too.
Yeah.
To wrap it up, I want to get back in the excitement of talking about the hot find of the week.
Some hot finds.
We know that, you know, guys and gals out there, us golfers,
yeah,
we put more effort into what we're wearing on the golf course than we might do on some date nights, right? Yeah. I mean, maybe even job interviews for some of us. You know what I'm saying, golfers? You know what I'm saying. And we got to celebrate. Looking good, celebrating the romance that is the game of golf. This week's hot find of the week belongs to, I've been a fan of Painter for a while.
Yes, we've had them in the shop over a year ago. So yeah, you've been a fan of Painter for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a fan of them for a while. This past golf season, they brought Jason Day on board. They gave him equity share of the company, and he just released his first designed shoe. So it's the Painter Jason Day SV, I believe. It's a beautiful shoe. Producer Blake's going to pop it up, show a picture for you right now. It's fantastic. Beautiful shoe. Comes in two different colors. I might get me one of these. I don't know. I have enough shoes. My wife would yell at me if I got another pair. So maybe not. Maybe not. But that's our hot find of the week.
For sure.
We talked about romance. We talked about using that romance to help build culture and identity. Right, romance is what breaks us away from the daily grind of things sometimes, and just like romance in other places, there's ups and downs.
That's
but
right.
That's what shows you you're in love. That's what shows you're passionate about it. And we're going to continue this constant pursuit of perfection, both in the game of golf and as outside. Leaders. Yeah,
yeah. So find the romance of life in your everyday life, everybody, and keep embracing the moments.
Get out there between the swings, embrace the moments. Be well.